Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Right, I want to read you something. Ecclesiastes, where is it going to come up? It's going to come up somewhere. Ecclesiastes 9, 11. Come on. It says this: I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. You're probably sitting there going, so what does it take? It says this: but time and chance happen to them all. I want to speak to you from the subject, the simple subject today of first to get there, but not last to leave. First to get there, but not last to leave. You're thinking, I don't know how that makes sense. Hopefully it will by the end. I've observed something under the sun. Me, Christopher, Fabian, that's my middle name, Carmona. Women always seem to get there first. They're just, in grade six, they get taller. I've had three boys. I have one girl. She spoke first. She's just... I don't like saying it, men, this is just true. They're just more intelligent. They just get there first. All around the world, women get there first. In fact, there are more women in our church than men because women just get there first. Women are the first. If you're married, it's one of the most frustrating realities of being married. They hear it first. Like, I'll rock up thinking, man, God just spoke to me. I'm gonna really bring this one. I'm like, Ords, God just said, and she's like, I know. He said it to me first. I'm like, God, like, give me one. You know what I mean? Just withhold for 1 minute. But no, women, they just get there first. They just, I feel like more intuitive, softer. They hear God first, first to pray. It's just something that I've observed. But here's something that is sad to that very thing, is that with every great thing, if you thought I was going to come here and just talk really nice, you're wrong, because... I'm going to be mean now. Not really. For every great thing, there's an Achilles. For every great thing, there's something that is not so great. It's a double-edged sword. Being a pastor for a few years and sitting there and helping people through things, I've noticed something. Women often get there first, but unfortunately, in an unhealthy way, they are always and often the last to leave. And that's not great. In this way, a woman's compassion would get her to her children first, but she's the last to leave and look after herself. A woman's compassion will get to a cause first, but she's the last always to acknowledge her own needs. In fact, I love that we started this with a little bit of just chill. Let's just relax. Because Pastor Helen said it, for some of you, that's the first time. And I think that there's a propensity, and it's not everyone, I'm not going to generalize because I live in America where everyone's offended all the time. But I am going to say this, that I've also noticed that when we go through people that are going through a divorce, the man seems to get up and go, and the woman seems to get stuck. And before I understood what this conference was about, I didn't even know what the tagline was, not because they didn't tell me, because I just don't read emails. I felt God say this: help them get up and go. Help them get up and move. Help them get up and leave. Because they gotta leave. They've gotta leave where they get. And sometimes the beauty of getting somewhere first is you're a first responder, and that's amazing. But if you look at the first responders in our society, they are often the ones that get the most messed up because they get there first. They get there when it's messy. They get there when it's not clean. They get there when it's difficult. They get there when people need the most. And when you're the first to get there, you're also the one that most people draw on. But how often can you get up and be the first to leave? Because it is so easy to get there first, but I don't believe that that's just the only side of the picture. In this conference, we heard the verse where Jesus called her forward. Called you forward from what? Calling you forward to something. It is so easy to get there and get stuck there. And this is the thing that we've got to understand about God. All the way in Exodus 6, he has four I wills. And the four I wills are the same for you and me, And it's this: I will save you, I will deliver you, I will redeem you, and I will make you my people. That, over the Jewish culture, they call them four cups: salvation, deliverance, redemption, and the last one they call praise. The ability to live in our purpose is when we actually give praise. The ability to live in such a way where everything you do gives praise back to God, right? That is the goal. But how many of us know that you said yes to Jesus, but then you woke up the next day with the same issues? Same family, you know what I mean? Same husband, don't say anything. Like we get saved, but we need to be delivered. And this is what you see in the Bible, in Exodus. I think this is the first picture of baptism. He walks them out of bondage, out of their captive, but yet what happens? The captive follows. You could get saved at 14, but that doesn't mean you're delivered. You could have got hurt at 15 and you're still carrying at 37. But what does he do? He walks them through the water and they come up a delivered nation. But deliverance isn't enough. You need redemption. How did God intend you to be? And this is what forward is going to look like for us. And as we go through this message and we journey, it's going to be the lens that we have is how do we get to the way that God intended you to be, not the way that life caused you to become? Because then Joshua, he walks them through as well. When the last person died of the people that exited Egypt, he then does the same thing. The waters part, he walks them through. Another picture of baptism. This time, they go through and become a redeemed nation. The nation the way that God intended them to look. My goal here is that I know that if God put me at a women's conference, it's because I gotta bring something. And my goal is this: that I would help you get up, not just walk out of the places that you don't want to be, but let those things stay there and then walk through, not just out of, not just free, but walking redeemed, that you might look exactly like God wanted you to look, not seasoned, not bitter, not difficult, not associating with where you came from, because women, it is difficult, and there is an assault on women throughout humanity, and wherever women stay stuck, that is a stat that most of those countries are third world nations. When the women are not moving, the nation doesn't move. And I just pray that in our time together, in this moment, that by the end of it, you would get up and go and have the tools to keep going, because God is calling you forward. And I find it interesting that the women were the first ones at the gravesite. They just get there first. When all the men that are tough, I love Peter. I'm a bit of Peter. You know, I'm like, I'm doing it. And then I'm thinking about it later, you know? Like I moved to the Gold Coast, and then I get to the Gold Coast when it says, welcome to the Gold Coast. And it said, and I'm like, I was like, we're here. I'm like, we're here. And I was like, I don't have anywhere to live. I didn't even have a job. I just go, all right. Pete, I'll fight. Tough, amazing, but it was the women that were there first. Yeah. Quiet, sometimes, not over the top, but consistent and first. There's something about it, and I wonder if you zoom out enough, they weren't just first to get to Jesus. If you zoom out enough, the number one thing that God was doing on earth at that time was that, Jesus. His way of getting humanity reconciled back to him. And who was some of the first and at the center, consistently and constantly serving and at the resurrection? Yeah. Women. Yeah. When he's calling you forward, I don't want to call you forward to just, not that it's simple, but I don't want to just call you to a better day. Because that's cool. A better day is good. But your anchor needs to be a purpose. And the bigger the purpose, the greater the storms you'll weather. The bigger the purpose, the greater the things you'll be able to stay on track for. So let's zoom out for a bit and let's just pretend, because it's not a pretend, it's actually for real. Let's understand that in this room, God is calling forward women, not just so that you might get out of your worst day, not that you might get out of your past, but that you would walk into the plan that God has for humanity here today in Melbourne and the cities around the world. That's what he's got. And that's what you and I are going to focus on. And this is what I love. The race is up to the swift, but time and chance happen to them all. I love when they ask for my verses. I give them my verses. And they lean over and they just go, "Yeah, is this it?" I'm like, "Yeah. You just have one." "Yeah." It's like, come on now. This is a woman's conference. Step up your game. At least have more verses. You can't just have one. But this is what I think. We oversimplify the power of just one. This verse, if you could keep it up there, is actually super profound. Because what it is saying, it's addressing a human tendency that we're not moving because we haven't had the chance. We're not moving because I'm not fast enough. I'm not blessed enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not empowered enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not educated enough. It takes all that out. And then in fact, it focuses on all the strengths that we would lean on. In fact, Psalm 33 says this, "Don't count on your war horse, for it doesn't have the power to save you." Every one of us have a war horse. Every one of us have something that we ride into life's greatest battles thinking that this is surely the thing that'll get me out. We have a tendency to lean on brilliant. But God doesn't favor brilliant. He favors faithful. Faithful. Faithfulness. In fact, it says this, time and chance is going to happen to us all. Every single one, from the front to the back. Some of you might have started the race running, Summit 22, out the gates, killing it. Others at 37, now you're killing it. But this is what the verse is saying. It doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter what you start with. I know you might be leaning on your brilliant, and I know you might be stuck in your worst day. But here's the thing. Just wait for it. Every single one of us, time and chance happens to us all. So this is what I want to ask you, Flourish. Who will you be when time and chance finds you? Will you be seasoned? Will you be stuck? Will you be bitter? Will you be cynical? Will you be critical? Will you be pointing at every reason that you are where you are? Or will you be ready when time and chance finds you? You might not get the start you want. You might not get the bank account you think you need. You might not have had the relationship with your father or your mother. And these are very real things that we've got to work out. But you've got to understand a bigger concept before we get into any points, and it is this. Time and chance is going to find you. But who it finds you to be is up to you. Dreaming the dream is easy. Any dreamers? Okay, I should change my message because like there's no dreamers. That's a problem. Any dreamers? In my mind, this is how it's going to go. Everyone's going to go, "I'm a dream." Didn't go that way. Any dreamers? Okay, who wants to be a dreamer? I just want every hand raised. I want to know they work. If not, we'll do a healing session, okay? We're going to make sure they work. The truth is, not everybody dreams. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Some of us have been holding our dreams for so long that our heart grows sick of holding them. Pushing hope to the next day often leads you to your worst day. But this is what the Bible talks about in this verse. Hold that dream because time and chance is coming your way. And who will you be when time and chance gets to you? Will you be the culmination of your seasons? Or will you be the best portion of your seasons? You don't have to be what life tells you you are. You don't have to be what life says you'll be. You don't have to be a collection of your losses. You get to choose. You get to choose and you get to dust it off. The Bible's full of moments dusting it off. Hey, go preach to the city. If they don't like you, then dust off shake the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Meaning, don't walk your defeats into your new seasons. What would happen if you were ready and seasoned for when time and chance finds you? Some of you have been holding dreams for what seems 90% of your life. Jesus did that same thing. 90% of his life, if you do the math, was walking ready for the last 10% where we still remember now. Your finish line looks different. Your race looks different. Your lane looks different. It might not be what you imagined, because come on to all the dreamers, when we dream it our way. Right? No one ever dreams the hard days, unless you're sadistic, okay? No one ever does that. We all dream this. Like God says, you're gonna preach. We're like, yes, I am, tomorrow. I can feel it. It's Saturday night, he spoke it. You show up to Sunday. Pastor Helen's scheduled to preach, but you know that's not gonna happen. She's gonna hear God. She's gonna turn and go, you, back. Seven rows deep. Five seats into the middle. The Lord has spoken. You're like, thank you. I'm here. Dreaming the dream always has the bank account full. Dreaming the dream starts at the stadium. Dreaming the dream, your husband is a knight in shining armor, literally. You're at the office, you... Sorry, guys, I gotta go. Dreaming the dream is full of romance. Living the dream is full of reality. And it's not those that are romantic that actually make it in the dream. It's those that can grit and live through the reality that get to the dream. Point number one, living the dream is different than dreaming the dream. Have you got what it takes to live the dream, not just dream the dream? Dreaming the dream is free. I used to have this friend who said, dreams are free. And I'm like, yeah, they are. Because they are. Dreams are free. You could dream right now. You could dream anything you want. Some of you are dreaming about lunch. Don't. Focus. Wait. Just give me a chance. But you know that the dream comes with unrealistic expectations? And there's a killer to dreams, and it's exactly that. Expectations about how you think the dream should go rather than reality of how God tends to have the dream go. This is what God does with a dream. I love Joseph. Joseph's one of my favorite in the Bible because he's oblivious to the realities of life, right? He just comes in. His brothers, it says, are working in the field. And here he comes. Dad made me a coat. Love dad, love dad, love my dad. What are you guys doing? They're sweating. It's a desert. They're not just farmers in Melbourne in the winter. You know what I mean? They're farmers in the desert. They're like dying. And he's like, I had a dream. Get this. All of you serve me. Oh my God. Isn't that great? They're like, let's kill him. But you and me, switch the brothers out. And just make them jealous haters, aka the enemy, aka reality of life. We waltz into life and we start to speak our dreams out because we're favored and God loves us and he gave me this coat of grace and I just went to flourish. But none of us expect that the price of the dream is getting sold into not slavery, adversity. Are you ready for what is coming your way for speaking what God has sent your way? See, you got to understand this about God. He never hands a dream. The dreamer wants the dream handed to him. But God doesn't hand dreams, he plants them. And it's the dreamer that's responsible to water that dream, tend to that dream, protect that dream. Have you and can you protect the dream? Not on your best day, because anybody can do that. But can you protect it on your worst day? Anybody can dream the dream, but not everybody can pay the price of living it. Here's the guarantee, though. The Bible speaks that to everything there are wages. In Romans 9, it speaks about it, in fact. It says, if you live by the law, just know that there are wages to it. The wages of sin are death. But the first time we see in humanity the system of credit is in that verse as well. He says this, that it is by faith that he credits our account as righteousness. It's credit. I think you and I have to understand that as we go and protect the dream, we've got to start it with faith. Protect it with faith, which is this, that you will get what you're promised. It just won't get there the way you want it. It's not going to get there easy. It's going to get there with a fight. It's going to get there. And you know what the biggest fight is? The fight that is most difficult is the fight for a clean, soft, and pure heart. That's the fight. David's biggest fight, he was the man. I mean, he's killing lions. You know what I mean? If I was killing lions, I would have walked up to the giant like, he's killing lions. Goes with a slingshot, bam. And then what happens? You think you're coming home. People are singing a song about him. All the girls are singing about him. He's like, you know, well, you know, whatever. I just always imagine David with a mullet. You know, because you're a shepherd, but you're a king. You know what I mean? You need to be corporate up top, party out back. You need a bit. You need a little bit. You need to say, I'm here for business, but I'm also, at any moment, I'll write a song. Any moment. You just don't know. Harps. But the reality is, he doesn't come home to that. He comes home to exile. Because your dream weighs a threat on an enemy. Your dream is a reminder to those who aren't ready to pay the price for one that they no longer feel justified by you and them on the same starting line. All of a sudden, you got to get up and go. And this is what I love about David. Do you know David was he was Saul's personal harpist. I want to actually, if we had more time, I would ask for that harp. I just got, I know, honey, I'm not. I love you. I'm sorry, I lied. I was going to. Okay. But this is what David says. Psalm 144, my favorite psalm, says this. David's having a moment, communicating back to God on the other side of dreaming the dream, being exiled, and now living the dream. He says, you train my fingers for battle and my hands for war. You know when that makes sense? It sounds romantic on that side, but this is when it makes sense. God, you said I'd be a king, but I'm just playing a harp for a king. He had to learn. He trained his fingers. Trained his hands. The battle that you will win is not going to be about skill set, but about heart set. And while God is holding you back, he's actually setting you up. Because the hardest thing to maintain is a good heart. And this is what David did. Whilst he was about to get killed, while he was just exiled, he could have killed Saul, but he doesn't. And he says this, I will not touch the Lord's anointed, meaning I won't push the purposes and promises of God into reality. I'll wait for them. Until then, I'll be exiled. Until then, I'll be thirsty. Until then, there'll be people that say things about me. Until then, I will wait. He understood the necessity of keeping a heart that would allow him to hold in his hand the promise that God had given him. You going through a difficult day? Welcome to the rest of us. Living the dream is not as easy. Living the dream is more difficult than dreaming the dream. Number two. No tortured geniuses. I was a tortured genius. I know you see it and you go, yeah, it makes sense. Thank you for laughing. You're supposed to be compassionate. Okay, not first to compassion. First to ridicule. Whatever. Separate conference maybe. I was a tortured genius. Because when I started the church, I saw Stephen Furtick's story. He did an Easter egg drop and thousands came. We did an Easter egg drop. One came. And it's funny, when I started the church, I knew everything. Gosh, if only people gave me a chance. Knew all things. Now that the church is 7 years in, I realize I know nothing. But for the first 4 years of the church, I was a tortured genius. It's when I die that I'll realize my greatness. I'm just so great, no one sees it. I'm so brilliant, they're just not on my level yet. Oh God, why have you made me so great? Humbled me with nothing. If only they knew, if Pastor Richard knew, if Pastor Helen knew, if my friends, if my husband knew, if my wife, just everyone knew how brilliant I am and how you've made me wonderfully, fearfully, and exactly how you wanted me. Oh. Here's the thing about a tortured genius. It starts with confidence, but it leads to insecurity. Because the tortured genius makes everybody else the ones that don't get it. The tortured genius is superior. The tortured genius says things like, you don't know my story. The tortured genius says things like, yeah, but you don't know where I came from. The tortured genius says things, you don't just see it, you just don't get it. Yeah, but humility elevates while pride excavates. It starts to dig a hole that you can't get out of. It's easy in your dreaming season to become the tortured genius. to actually think that they've missed it. People haven't seen it. But here's the thing. You're not questioning people. You're questioning the sovereignty of God. I thought God was, I thought he was Latino. I'm Uruguayan. And there's one thing you got to know about your Latino friends. This is going to, if you're Hispanic, don't hate me. Don't take my card away. I'm still one of you. But we got to speak the truth. To all you people that know Hispanic people, or somewhat even my island friends, there's a thing called Eastern Standard Latino time. And when we say that we're halfway there, we actually just left the house. Our secret's out. When we're parking, we're halfway there. It's just what it is. If we're walking inside, we're literally just now parking, possibly, or finding a park. I thought God was Hispanic. Because in the Bible, he's like, I'm never late. I'm like, you're always late, okay? Jesus, you know what I'm saying? You know, like, he's always late. Didn't show up when I needed it. Didn't show up when 4 years when I was going to die. We're buying all of our shopping and groceries. We didn't have any. In fact, we were on these things called food stamps that only the poorest of the poor in America live on. That's what we were on. It's always so encouraging when, like, the guy in front of me, black Amex. And she's like, oh, you have a black Amex. I show up with food stamps, EBT. I'm like, so embarrassing to me. And I'm embarrassed to say it was embarrassing because that's how prideful I was. He wasn't there. He wasn't there for miscarriage 1, 2, 3, and 4. In my eyes, tortured genius only sees it from their perspective. But the reality is the Bible says that his plans don't delay. They might not be on your time, but they're still on time. What if your dream is not about you? Oh my gosh. What if your dream has too much I in it? What if there's too much I in your dream? I have a great voice. Like, my wife is one of those preachers, she can be like, and the word of the Lord, hey, hey. And she just, her finger does it, her voice follows. The I dream is how I am going to impact the world and how I am a gift and how I. A God dream starts with they. Maybe your dream and your plan and your purpose and your promise is actually, crazy thought, part of something much bigger than you. We look at our promises and his promises to us and we go, it's about how you're going to fulfill them to me. We make them ours. They're mine. You said it. No, he told you what's possible, but you got to pay for what's called purpose. Yeah. And if that's the plan, I think God is out there with like a master timing. And your plan and your purpose and your promise and your best day, as we say it, might not be needed just now. Your compassion gift, oh, this church doesn't do enough for the homeless. Your compassion gift might not be needed right now in the bigger scheme of what God is doing on the earth. Your speaking gift, your church hitting optimum influence might not be there just yet because it's not needed from heaven just yet. What if, I wonder if Jesus in his teenage years was like, oh, just want to walk on water already. Gosh, Dad. You go back and make a table. Oh. Maybe you're just not needed yet. So what can you do while not needed? You can support. You could prep. You could plan. You could cultivate. You could protect. You could kill the tortured genius and understand that God does not torture. He waits. He builds. See, David might have been called a shepherd, but he was transformed into a king. He might have gave you the dream when you were a shepherd, so to speak, but he doesn't need a shepherd to lead a nation. He needed a king to lead a nation. And that king needed to know what it was like to be exiled. He needed to know what it was like to go through trial. He needed to be tested, because while you love the dream more than the journey, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Women, you're called to get up and you got to go. You can't stay in that place anymore. Because here's the other thing. Point number three, the dream, it has a time frame. It's got an expiration date. It just does. I've had people come up to me and go, I'm going to be a youth pastor. I'm like, you no longer have youth, like in you. I'm sorry. And all the feelers will go, that's horrible. Everyone has a chance. You know what the most sobering and best thought we could have? Is time and chance comes to us all. But who will you be when it gets there? Because Joshua, God looks down at him at one point. He goes, hey, you're getting pretty old, Chris Cummins, to paraphrase, and there's still a lot for you to conquer. Meaning, you've only got a few days left on earth. You better get up and finish what I told you to do. Psalm 105, until it was time to fulfill Joseph's dream, God tested his character. Even while you're waiting, you're still building. Don't think you're not doing anything when you're waiting. Don't think that because you're waiting, you've got time. Don't think because you're waiting that it's not about upskilling. Don't think because you're waiting, it's not about learning how to forgive. Don't think because it's about waiting that it's not about healing. Don't think because it's waiting that you're just on the shelf. You're never on the shelf. You're on the builder's block. And he's building you, and he's crafting you, and he's helping you. Why? Because anybody can deliver a message with a bit of you know, delivery and a bit of jokes and all that kind of stuff. But it is the journey that breeds and builds substance into your message. This is what the Bible says in Romans. It says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Feet are not beautiful. I even know where they go wrong. It's the toes. God, look, that's why everyone puts so much effort into them. We know that they're bad. You got to paint them. Grind them down, whatever. So why are they saying they're beautiful? Because what those feet look like is they walk through mountains and deserts and difficult places. They're saying your message is beautiful because I see how much you paid to deliver it. Don't think that the delivery and the journey to it has no purpose to it. Last one, or two more. One's gonna be quick. Learn how to reconcile your season. Close it out. Reconcile the account. But don't do it yourself. Don't let the devil reconcile it. Don't let him say it's done when God's not finished yet. Let God reconcile your season. Because he's a deliverer and he's also a redeemer. Meaning that which is missing through the reconciling period, he puts back. That which the enemy stole. See, you could let your season season you. You could smell, taste and sound like the worst parts of your season. But if you allow God to reconcile it, you no longer have dead seasons. You have seasons within a bigger picture. So let God reconcile your season. Yes, the ugly one. Yes, the painful one. Yes, the one you wish you could forget. Let God reconcile it. Go and bring it before God and go, God, in the area of hope, I'm falling short. In the area of confidence, I'm falling short. I think it's no mistake that when Pastor Helen reconciled her internal world, her external world followed. I have a theory that when it's autoimmune, it's often our body and ourself at war. And the last one is this. Pay in full, not in part. You ever started paying for something and started regretting it as the money kept coming out? I remember I had this brilliant idea that Audrey just hadn't seen yet of going to auction for a car. I didn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? I didn't know anything about it. But I was like, I'm doing it. I'm gonna go. And I gotta tell you, man, at the beginning of the auction, everyone's super pumped, right? Hands are ready. You feel like a billionaire because you can just keep doing this. Little Camry comes out. That's me. 500. I'm looking at people in the eyes. What? We'll do this all day. At around 3,500, I'm starting to go. At around 4,000, there's hardly anybody left. At 5,000, it was just me and this other guy. And we both had the same look in our eyes, like, don't do it. Please don't raise your hand anymore, please. You know what was running through my heart? Man, I've already spent so much. Is it going to be worth it? Man, I've already spent so much. Have I even got enough? I'll just rise it. Oh. Man, if he keeps going, I don't know if I've got enough left. What if this goes further? Oh. I started to wonder if what I was paying was even worth what I was getting. I wonder if heaven looks down at Flourish Conference every year, all women gathered, And there's promises and calling and purpose on the driving by. And at the beginning of conference, every woman's got their hand raised. A few weeks after conference, everyone's got their hand raised. But a year after conference, when your forgiveness and cynicism and relationships and hurt and time and training and hungry and you're paying the price, will you have enough to not just pay it in part, but pay for the dream in full? Will heaven look down at the women of Melbourne, at the women of this nation? Would heaven look down and see hands raised when they're feeling tired, hands raised when they're already so deep in at the cost? Can I tell you, time and chance is coming, but who will you be when it finds you? Reconcile it. No tortured geniuses. Only people ready to live the dream, not just dream the dream. Can I pray for you? Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you feel like that spoke to you and you're like, man, I need a bit of that. I'm a tortured genius. I need a bit of that. I need to reconcile some seasons. I need a bit of that. I've got to move. I need a bit of that. I've been the first to get here, but I'm also the last to leave. I need a bit of that. If that's you, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want you to raise your hands right now. Go. I want to pray for you. All over this place, hands being raised. Some of you are like, I want to pay the price in full. Raise your hands. All over this place, Father God. God, if you need some redemption, you need God to put some things that you feel have been taken from you. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. God can restore it. Hands are going up everywhere. This is a moment in a window where God wants to move. Father, you see every hand raised. Father God, I pray that you fall, that you move. Holy Spirit, you bring boldness, you bring power. You know that, God, you haven't forgot any one of us, Lord God. You haven't been absent, Lord God. You've been carrying us, Father God. I pray in the name of Jesus in this place, Lord God, that you would bring a whirlwind in this place. That, God, not only today will be felt, but in years to come, there'd be a ripple effect around the nations, Lord God, of what you did in Flourish Conference 2019 in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Father God, carry us to our best day. Help us serve you in Jesus' name. And everybody shout it. Come on now, everybody shout it. Amen.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.